So it is Yom Kippur. And these two women who have had a bitter fight for years run into each other in the synagogue. And one of them says to the other, you know, it's time to put an end to this. Years of bickering and fighting. I want you to know in the new year, I'm all done with it. And the other one says, me too. From now on, I wish for you only what you wish for me. And the other woman says, aha, you're starting up with me again. We think of this as the time of tshuva, the time when we're supposed to repent, but it is also the time when we are supposed to forgive. We always talk about how you should approach someone else and apologize for what you've done. But what do you do if you're on the other side? If you're the wronged party, or believe you are? As an American humorist once wrote, nobody ever forgets where they buried the hatchet. And what I want to offer today is some advice on forgiveness, because sometimes to forgive is harder than to ask for forgiveness. And the first reason that it is harder is because you give up your position of superiority. When you're wronged, you're better than the one who wronged you. There is an inequality, a hierarchy built into the social relationship. They did wrong and you are aggrieved. And if you really forgive them, you give up your right to look down on them. You relinquish your right to get even. You are not allowed, according to rabbinic tradition, to bring someone's sins up to them later if you've forgiven them. This is a rule violated in every marriage since the beginning of history, but nonetheless, it is in fact a dictum of the rabbis. If you say, I forgive you, you can't say tomorrow, listen, I forgave you, but I didn't forget, because that demonstrates that you still feel superior. And if you feel superior, you've not forgiven. Invariably, when you talk about forgiveness, someone will come up to you and say, but what about things that are unforgivable? And I wish to say right now, I'm addressing the 90%, probably 99% of things we do to each other that in fact are forgivable. Let's focus on those. Let's focus on the cruel thing that was said about you by someone else, despite the fact that you know very well that you've said as cruel a thing about them or someone else yourself. Let's talk about the person who took business from you, even though you know very well that you've taken business from other people too. Let's talk about the person who treated you in a way that offended your vanity, even though they probably weren't thinking about you, but about themselves. And most of the time, I have found in every organization, when people are offended, they always impute the intention to offend. That person said this, they clearly were trying to disrespect me, when the person involved had no idea that they were being offensive. That's the forgiveness I'm talking about. But in order to do it, it takes something from you. If it didn't take something from you, then everybody would forgive all the time, and we don't. We hold on to our petty rancors, to our angers. And we do it because it makes us feel better. It makes us feel righteous. It makes us feel pure. It allows us to forget all the cruel things that we have done. And invariably what I hear is, but that person offended me. But that person hurt me. As though we do not go around bruising, hurting, offending each other all the time, and as if the only lubricant that keeps the world running weren't forgiveness. Not only do you have to give up your superiority, but there's another piece of advice I have for those of you who would forgive, which is to refocus on what you should be doing instead of focusing on what the other person shouldn't be doing. The world is a vast arena of possible positive action in which you can make a difference, and yet you do nothing good for anyone by constantly blaming the person who hurt you. So it depends how you want to live your life. We all know people who cherish their grudges like they're their children. They won't let go of them for years. They're so precious. And a part of me suspects that the reason that that's true is if they let go of them, then they actually have to do something to fill up the space that the grudge takes up inside them. As though the world weren't a crying reservoir of need, that all that energy, all that soul power that we use to resent someone else couldn't be redeployed for the healing of a broken world. And then the third, and in some ways the most difficult aspect of forgiveness, is that sometimes you have to respond to evil with goodness. I must say, I know very few people whose characters have been improved by constant criticism. You hear this all the time. I've told him a million times he shouldn't be that way. And we all know, I grant you, how other people should be. I am an expert on the behavior of other people. Just ask me what you should do, I'm happy to tell you. And yet the phone doesn't ring, go figure. But when someone is unkind to you, if you can respond kindly, if you can do that, and here I want to stop the sentence in the middle, because I want to guess what is going on in many people's minds. They're thinking, that's right, if that person had only responded kindly to me. If only they had done that, everything would have been fine. But I'm not talking about them, I'm talking about you and me. Think when you didn't respond kindly, not when the other person didn't respond kindly. That's too easy. To counsel other people to forgive is easy. Let me tell you, I'm not having a hard time right now. This is a breeze. The hard time will be when someone comes up to me and says, why didn't you do that? I'll be leaving right after the service, by the way. That's the hard time. But to tell someone else to do it is not difficult, so I want to ask you to think of a time when you didn't respond kindly, when you didn't forgive, when you interpreted someone else's action as a slight, when in fact they were probably preoccupied with themselves like you're preoccupied with yourself. And they weren't thinking about you at all. A man came to the Baal Shem Tov and he said, my son is cruel to me. What should I do? The Baal Shem Tov said, love him more. I've thought about that story. And here's my conclusion. That doesn't mean that the son changed. Cruelty back wouldn't have changed him either. But here's my guess. My guess is as that son grew up, if the man took the Baal Shem's advice, at some crucial moment in his life, he remembered that even though he was cruel to his father returned it with kindness. That even though he expressed hate, his father expressed love. We know that there have been instances in our own lives when we've been unkind or unloving or cruel or recriminating or bitter, and someone else has diffused our anger with goodness. That which has been done to us, we can do to another. You will find outside these cards with an apple representing Rosh Hashanah. These are tshuva cards. Let me tell you what they're for. They're for you to write someone with whom you have some dispute, some anger, some distance, some dissent. And by writing them, change two lives, yours and theirs. Unknot the anger in your own soul and allow theirs to melt as well. There are 1,000 cards. That means you can change 2,000 lives. In other words, listening to the sermon isn't enough. Even agreeing with the sermon isn't enough. Enacting the lesson of the Baal Shem, that's enough. Not just asking for forgiveness, but granting forgiveness. That's what it means to do tshuva. And in ways that we cannot anticipate and we cannot understand, something hidden, some dynamic of goodness that moves through the world will move through your life if you forgive and are forgiven. Or Zarua Latzadik, we are told. You know, the world was created with light on the first day, but on the fourth day, the sun was made. So where was that light from? The light of the first day. Or Zarua Latzadik, there's a light that is stored up for the righteous. It's the light of tshuva, the light of forgiveness, the light of love. I pray that in the season to come, we will all of us ignite, kindle, spark that light, and the hidden light will become visible to us all. Or Zarua.